Hear our prayers, Lord, as we stand here to worship you and ask for your blessings. Your magnificent earth given to us so that it will sustain us and so we can manage it has been allowed to be tainted by Satan, who with guile and cunning has suborned your gift in a vain attempt to usurp your power. Help us to have the strength and to keep our hearts set on you. Hear our prayers, Lord, that we may fight Satan, not to be led astray by him. We want to stand in your presence and see you face to face and dwell in your house forever. Amen.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on our God.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, Melech ha'olam, Shech halo, Shech hakol, Nihye b'dvaru. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, through whose word everything comes into being. Blessed be the three perfect beings who accept our imperfections and wipe them away with the ultimate sacrifice. Blessed be the abundant love who came to earth to show us the way. Blessed be the works that he has given us to shine a light on the path back to him. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, Melech ha'olam, Oshe ma'az bereshit. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who makes all creation. Amen. Please be seated. Come on. All right. Please read with me. Please read with me, brothers and sisters. Though I myself has reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, become like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. So Paul sets forth his qualification as a true and loyal Jew. He tells of his correct and traditional circumcision. He is a membership in the house of Benjamin. Let me start that again. His membership in the house of Benjamin, which was a very well-respected bloodline. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Both his parents were Jews. He was a model Jew himself. And he was educated completely as a Jew. He was a Pharisee who studied under Gamaliel, who was a highly respected Pharisee of that day. He attacked and killed many Christians. His resume was impeccable. But he gave it all up, and he counted every qualification, every accomplishment as rubbish. After Christ chose him to be his servant, he gave up everything to follow our Lord Jesus Christ and spread word of him relentlessly, and he gave up all for Jesus and in turn gained everything.
Thank you, Chip. Great singing, by the way. You'll get an A for today. I want to welcome you all here today. It's good to see Jeannie and Brandon and his friend again. Thank you. We miss you. We do have a sad note. Today is Nancy's last day here. She will be moving down to Virginia, and we invite all of you to stay after the service. We have some cake and that we can share just to give Nancy a good send-off and our blessing. We will miss her. She's been active in the church for a long, long time, and we will just miss her. So can we give Nancy just a round of applause just to show appreciation? Oh, yeah, she will. You'll keep in touch, right?
I'm sorry.
You'll keep in touch, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I'll be back to visit.
Okay. It's only 7 hours away. Six. That makes it better, right? We want to take some time to honor our vets. So I'm going to ask anybody who is serving or has served, would you stand, please? Thank you. Excellent. Good. Let's wait. No. Keep standing. This is the Men's Glee Club. No, I'm only kidding. Vince, we'll start with you, and we'll go back, and then this side. Would you tell your name and where you served?
August 19 to 58 to June 12,
Thank you. Thank you. Butch? Amen. Right, so be careful, right? Next. Thank you. Thank you both. Chipper, you're up.
Chip Marshall, U.S. Navy from April 25th, 1985 to April 25th, 2005.
Amen. And Doc, last but least. Okay. Amen. Amen. We thank you all for your service. Okay. All right, we take a lot for granted, and you know, unfortunately, I think our Vietnam vets got the short end of the stick. So if you know somebody also who has served in Vietnam, please make sure you thank them for their service. They're kind of the unsung heroes in all of this. As we go into prayer, we have some things that I want to lift up in prayer today. And as we do that, we'll think of our veterans and what strikes me all the time when I think about our vets is sometimes, you know, they come back missing a limb or, you know, they've been injured somehow. And yet I think the most serious injuries are not the external. I think it's what happens internal to them. And, you know, those go unseen. And I think a lot of vets are hurting, you know, in a lot of ways. So would you join me in prayer as we pray for our veterans in our country, please? Okay. Father, I thank you for these men in particular who stood up here today and served their country honorably. We thank you that they were willing, Father, to make that sacrifice and ultimately, Father, face the ultimate sacrifice. I pray, Father, for each man that you bless them, that Father, you would heal them from the inside out and whatever bad memories may be from the service. But Father, we love this country. We ask your blessing on it. We ask that the government of this country, Father, would look to you for wisdom and guidance rather than looking to party lines or their own agendas. I pray, Father, that in the churches in the United States, you would bring them back fully open. You would bring them back to the Bible. You would bring them back to confession and repentance. And Father, that we would have an influence in our community. So Father, we have a lot to pray for. Our nation is not in good shape. But this is all in your hands. Nothing takes you by surprise. And we'll trust you going forward. Help us to do the right thing. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to wait upon you for tithes and offerings. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. And as they come forward, we appreciate it. You guys did a marvelous job on the boxes. You did an excellent job. And we appreciate that. You also appreciate the supplies for the high school, the community closet in high school. I'm told that the need is greater than ever. There's still a lot of parents out of work for whatever reasons because of COVID, and places just are running short staffed. So there's a need, and we're going to take another shipment over on Thursday. Thank you for your contribution. Along with the shipment, we're going to give them some flyers for the Coke giveaway. So they'll be able to take advantage of that. Let's pray. Father, as we give with voluntary hearts, we give with glad hearts, and we give with hearts of great expectation that you will use this money for the furtherance of your kingdom. Father, bless the offering and the giver. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. There's another song that's commonly done on patriotic days called God Bless America. And I think more rightly it should be called Help America Bless God. So that's where we're at, I think, as a country. You know, hang in there for a second. I'm having a little bit of technical difficulty. There we go. For those of you who have some years on your chassis, there was a time in the history of the United States military where they drafted people. How many remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I do, right? Some of you don't remember that. Well, you missed out on all the anxiety, I guess. But there was a time where they drafted people, and they drafted people into the service for their country, right? It was, by time I was old enough, we went to a lottery system. Any of you remember the lottery system, right? My best friend's birthday was January 21st. Mine was the 22nd. And he came out number one, and I came out 108. And we both fully expected to go. He ended up getting a health discharge because, unbeknownst to him, he had some real bad health issues that the military doctors picked up. So, for my year, they stopped at number 98. So I was ready to go. I was in college. There were no more student deferments. And I was ready to serve my country if need be. I'll tell you something else. When we were attacked on 9/11, my attitude was put me in a plane and I'll go fight whoever was attacking us. We, generally speaking, are patriotic. Isn't that true? I mean, generally speaking, we're patriotic. We love our country, willing to fight for our freedoms, willing to even go into the military. It's volunteer sign up now. But, you know, some of the zeal I see that people put into our patriotism, it's good, but I wish they would put the same zeal into their relationship with Jesus Christ. Because primarily, a Christ follower, whether we like it or not, the moment we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, is drafted into the service of the King. Now, you may choose to go AWOL. You know what AWOL means? Absent without leave. Or you may choose by faith to obediently serve the King. Paul in this passage goes into what it means to be in the service of the King. This is not a popular message. I'm going to be right up front with you. It's not popular because being in the service of the King demands sacrifice. What did they call people in the military in the United States? Remember? It was an abbreviation. GIs, you know what that means? Government issue. You belong to the government, right? You belong to the government. And there's a reason for that. There's a good reason for that. And when we come to Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we're under new ownership. We belong to the King. And so, the reason why this is not popular is because just like people in the service, it demands sacrifice. What did you miss most when you went to boot camp? What did you miss most when you went to boot camp?
Home cooking.
I knew that was coming, right? Your bed, right? I mean, it was a tough road, but necessary because you had to learn the basics of how to fight, how to defend, and have your brother's back, correct? And so boot camp was really something that needed to happen, as unpleasant as it may be. Nobody here was in the Marines, right? I hear Paris Island is like incredible for the Marines to go to Paris Island. Listen, if you look in the Bible, when God has something planned for people in his service, he kind of puts them through boot camp, whether you realize it or not. The Apostle Paul, you heard Chip read his resume before. The Apostle Paul didn't become the effective leader that he ultimately became just by osmosis. He actually was in the desert with God for 3 years training before he started his ministry. And we lose sight of that. How many years was Moses in the desert getting ready to lead? 40. Talk about boot camp. Being in the desert for 40 years, right? Same thing, you know, with great leaders like Joshua, Daniel, Jeremiah. I mean, we can go through the whole list. Jesus. I don't think there was anyone who sacrificed more than Jesus. Because when he came to this earth, he came in service of the King. So I want you to look at this with me. We're going to unpack this. And stay with me on this, because quite honestly, we here in America are kind of spoiled. And what I mean by that is churches generally don't have a good theology of suffering. And that may sound weird, but we need a good theology of suffering. Here's why. It's very simple. Jesus said to his disciples, if the world hates me, it's going to hate you. Whatever they do to me, they might do to you. So there is some element of suffering for being a Christ follower. And, you know, we lost that. Look at what Paul says here in this first verse. He says, now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you. He's writing this from prison. He's imprisoned for the gospel. And he's writing to the church at Colossae saying, I'm going to rephrase this because I think this is what Paul meant. He's saying, I'm glad it's me in here and not you. Paul is willing to sacrifice and suffer for the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a really incredible statement. And he comes out with kind of a confusing passage here. He says, excuse me, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, which is the church. Now, listen, Christ's suffering resulted in salvation, right? It resulted in the free offer of grace that if we come to him in faith and repentance, that all our sins, past, present, and future, would be forgiven. Not because of anything we did, but because he suffered the full wrath of his Father on the cross in my place for my sin. And we can't lose sight of that. And Paul is not saying there was something was deficient up there. He wasn't saying that at all. What he's saying here is he's reiterating Christ's teaching. As I am commissioned to go to the Gentiles with the gospel, I should expect the same treatment that my Savior got. How many of you have shared the gospel with people and they've called you names? Okay, few. How many of you, when you came to Christ, might have lost some friends? Okay. How many of you, because of your Christian convictions, in your job may have been passed over for a promotion? Okay? I mean, these happen in subtle ways. You know, the world system is always testing us. And the reason why it's always testing us is because Satan wants to sideline us. He wants us to get discouraged. He wants us to get so despondent by circumstances that we go AOL, absent without leave. And we can't do that. Paul says he was willing to suffer for the expansion of the gospel and consequently the church. That's unbelievable. So I'm going to be asking some personal questions as we go through this. How about you? You know, I don't know, you know, not everybody's going to suffer like Paul did. Not everybody's called to be an apostle. But if you're a follower of Christ, you're called to do something. And that's between you and God, because the moment we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we're given spiritual gifts to use for the building up and edification of the church. But those gifts can be applied outside the church also. None of us are exempt from the Great Commission. Remember the Great Commission? What's it say? Go and make, not converts, disciples. Jesus' words. Go and make disciples, teaching them all that I have taught you, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we have to get rid of the idea that the pastor is the professional, and that falls on the pastor. No, it falls on the church. And we need to be busy about the kingdom of God. All right, I'm going to ask a question. I reluctantly do this. Who are the Eagles playing today? Who knows? Do you know? Broncos, Denver. Who are the Giants playing?
Nobody.
Doesn't matter. They're going to lose anyhow, right? And here's the mentality. I've used this before, but it always baffles me. You root for a team. Listen, I like sports, okay? Don't get me wrong. But you root for your team, and if your team wins, you say, "We won." No, you watched. They won. But when they lose, what do you say? They lost. You know? And we get into this crazy mentality of being spectators, and it's infiltrated the church. Look at the next two verses. Paul says, I've become its servant. That word there is the same word as deacon. By the commission of God, by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in all its fullness. We have all been commissioned by God. That's what the Great Commission is. We've all been commissioned by God. And we go forward in his power, with his authority, but with his love also, as we lovingly present the gospel to the people. Verse 26 can be a little bit confusing. It says, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. Does anyone want to take a guess what that mystery is? Okay, all right, well, it centers on Jesus, right? But here's the mystery. The Jews thought that the Gentiles could never be saved. That's what they thought. Gentiles could never be saved. That the Messiah was going to be just for them. God never said that, by the way. He calls them his people, but through his people, he was going to send a Messiah for the whole world. And the mystery that's revealed is in Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ came for the world, Jews and Gentiles alike. For God so loved what? The world, that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever should believe on him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This was scandalous to the Jew. Oh, they used to call Gentiles pigs. Talk about racism. Worked on both sides, by the way. And the cross broke down that barrier. Now, Jews and Gentiles alike who follow Christ are brothers and sisters in the Lord. That is the work of grace. That is the work of God. We're commissioned to reveal this mystery. Why is the cross still scandalous today? Did I want to take a guess? I'm sorry, Lydia? It represents what we fail at. They're very good. It represents what we fail at. In other words, when we look at the cross rightly, it becomes a salt to our pride, because when we face Christ and we face the cross, we have to admit we're sinners. We have to admit that we have offended God and we have offended others. And so the cross has never been popular, okay? And it's really unpopular today, because what do you hear today? Well, there's many roads to God. No, there isn't. There may be many roads to the cross, but only one way to God, and that's through faith in the Son. And that's it, period. And so that's not a popular message, because people get offended. Well, what do you mean? There's nothing I can do? No, there's nothing you can do. Well, I help old ladies across the street all the time. Well, good. That's a good thing to do, but it doesn't get you to heaven. Well, you know, I give a lot to charity. Great thing to do, but that doesn't get you to heaven. Well, I've been confirmed in church and, you know, gone to catechism. Great. Doesn't get you to heaven. So there's really nothing I can do? Yeah, no. Jesus did it all for you. Nothing we can do, because we're sinners. We have to come to terms with that. We do live in unfortunately, in a post-Christian society. Post-Christian meaning, you know, Christianity used to be prominent in America. It is no longer prominent, unfortunately. There's more churches closing than opening. That's unfortunate. For the last 20 years, maybe 25 years now, the United States is very weak on sending missionaries throughout the world. We used to be a mission-sending nation. We are now a mission-receiving nation. Some of you know Pastor Nestor, right? He came to the Lord in the oil fields, risky business, and felt God calling him into ministry. So he got training in the Philippines, where he's from, and he was sent by the people in the Philippines to come to America to share the gospel. Glad he did. He's got a good church up in Lakewood. Last couple of verses. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The moment you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior by faith, we're told the Holy Spirit takes up residence in you, so that the very life of Christ is in you. That's amazing. So you know what unites us then? It's not our skin color. It's not our economics. It's not our looks. It is not any of those. What unites us is Christ himself. Do you realize that Christ offers salvation to anyone? The Muslim, the Hindu, the atheist. Can you figure out atheist? I can't. I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but you know, I've talked with a lot of atheists over the year, and they'll say, well, we really have no religion. And I'll say, yeah, but you do. And they'll say, well, no, we don't. Well, you believe you have no religion. That's a religion, that you believe there's no religion. So we get caught up in all this stuff, right? A servant of a king keeps the person and work of Jesus Christ central. Keeps it central. Now listen, I'm going to say something that's difficult, okay? Too many churches, as a result of the political climate, have lost the centrality of the person and work of Jesus Christ. It has caused big problems. Churches took stands politically as far as being Republican or being Democrat, and this and that, and it wreaked havoc in the church. And not only did it wreak havoc, it took away any prominence of the gospel. There are pastors who pastored some of these churches who tried to tell their congregations, don't get caught up in this. You're allowed to have your political view, but we have to keep the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ center. Otherwise, we lost our witness. And some churches refuse and pastors are leaving. And it should never be. He is the one we proclaim. Jesus. Admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. Wisdom comes from who? God. And what does admonishing mean? We use that word. I don't know if we know what it means. Warning. Warning, right? We warn people with the word of God. So that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. You know, I'll put that in modern day language. We want to bring people through discipleship to help them mature and graduate boot camp. And graduate boot camp. Listen, I haven't known anyone who came through boot camp, graduated from it, and wasn't changed. You are changed. It's the same thing in the service of the king. To this end, I strenuously contend. That word strenuously in the original language is agonize. Have you ever labored so hard you agonized? And it doesn't have to be hard labor, right? Any type of labor. I'm going to pick on Doc. Doc, how is it after 6 hours in the OR? Yeah, but you keep going, right? You keep going. Listen, our soldiers, by and large, you know, the men and women of the Air Force, they will work strenuously to complete a mission to the point of exhaustion. In the military, if those of you who are in the military, correct me if I'm wrong, the mission is everything. In the kingdom of God, the Great Commission should be everything. Because that's our mission. And we need to work tirelessly in order to do that. You know, this church is fortunate, I think, because we do have a music ministry on Sundays. We have a music ministry for the holiday. Those are forms of discipleship, by the way. We have the men's group, you know, and we have, when everybody's there, we have 10 men. Good group of guys, and we learn from each other. It's necessary for growth and maturity in Christ. We have a Tuesday morning Bible study where we pray and look at a passage of Scripture. It's great. There are many ways you can avail yourself to growing in the knowledge and grace of our Lord. But you gotta take advantage of them. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy of Christ and his energy. Some of you come to the theological roundtable up in Tom's River, right? Is it good stuff? It's great stuff. The Theological Round Table up in Toms River. I know it's during the day. Some of you work. Some of you can't make it. But it's great stuff. You know, I put more miles on my car this year than I have in previous years. And I put more work into the ministry this year, especially with COVID going on, than any other years. And I'm committed to it. I mean, there's days I'm exhausted. I guarantee you when I come back from Philly tonight, I'm going to be spent, okay? But it's, in my mind, it's worth it. Have you ever done work and, you know, you really got tired and at the end of the day you were satisfied, right? You were satisfied. That doesn't happen in the pastorate a lot because we deal with intangibles a lot. Some of the results you can't see, right? So some of that, you know, it gets iffy sometimes. But, you know, if you're building something, if you're handy like that, if you're an engineer, you know, if you're a physician, you have a good outcome, you can look back and say, wow, that was really good. You could be as tired as anything else, but you still have that peace, that satisfaction, that you contended for something good. There may be some professing Christ followers who are still AWOL, absent without leave. Now's the time to recommit to serve Christ. Yeah, there was a song, I don't even know the name of it, but I played in my head a lot. It had this line in it. It said, no matter how many steps you've taken away from the Savior, there's only one step back. That's incredible. That's the grace and the love of Christ. Now is the time to recommit to serve Christ. There may be some who have been serving and need some encouragement. Everybody needs encouragement, right? So for those of you who are serving faithfully, thank you. And it doesn't have to be anything real visible. It could be, you know, cleaning the church. It could be a card ministry. It could be calling people. It could be a thousand different things. Thank you for serving. We appreciate it. That's why it was important today to recognize veterans, to say thank you. We appreciate you. There may be some who are just entering into boot camp. Well, I'd be glad to help you through that. And that boot camp is discipleship to train for serving Christ. There's only one question I want to ask this morning. Are we willing to enter into the service of the King? That you can only answer between you and God. I hope we are. I'm going to ask Kim and Chip and Sharon to come up. I want to remind you that we do have cake in order to honor Nancy, as this is their last act. I heard somebody mumble cake. So don't run off. Please stay, and we want to wish Nancy the best. In fact, before the next song, I'm going to pray for her. And just pray that God work out all the details and that God make the transition smooth for Nancy. My biggest prayer is that she doesn't come back with a Southern accent. That's my biggest prayer. But I told the same thing to Rebecca because she moved down to South Carolina. So last time I saw her, she was here for prayer meeting. When she came back to visit, and I said, let me hear you talk. She said, I don't have it. I said, okay. Okay. Let's pray. Father, as Nancy is making this transition, I pray you work out all the details for her. May you order her steps. May you grant her safety as she gets ready to move down to Virginia. Open doors for her, Father, for a place to live, for ministry. And Father, just continue to direct her steps. Would you bless her richly? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Would you stand, please? God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
So we're going to pray, and I'll ask you to remember Doc and Tommy and me in prayer. We're going to Philly this afternoon for the anniversary celebration of Paul Kofish Church. Pray that God give me the wisdom to present the word to them and that people would be blessed. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. We now come into fellowship around some refreshment. We thank you for Nancy and all she has meant to us. And again, Father, we pray your blessing on her. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
You're dismissed.
Amen.